The Best in Class podcast is back for more summer fun, breaking down the AFC North draft, the impact in that division, and it's always a quick and fun listen from Sean Sullivan, the JoeBucksFan.com draft guru. It's all presented by Bill Curry Ford. Dial it up. It's quick. It's fun. It's Sean.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Best in Class with Sean Sullivan, coming to you live from Bill Curry Ford Studios in Tampa. We are doing the AFC North today. Very excited about that. Football season, mini camps are coming, so we're going to finish our wrap-up of the draft. We're going to talk about some players that we're going to look at as mini camp starts, and then you will get a mini camp update weekly from me on who is which of these rookies is starring, you know, in mini camp before the season starts. So that's very exciting stuff. But first, a word from our sponsor, Bill Curry Ford, a 65-year family-owned business serving the Tampa Bay community. Visit us at BillCurryFord.com to see all of our amazing specials. We have zero, zero, and zero going on. That's zero interest, zero down payment, and zero payments for 90 days. So triple zero going on right now. Because of employee pricing, we haven't been able to get, because it's all on new cars, obviously, factory pricing. It's really affected the used car market. So right now, we need used cars more than ever. So your car could be worth up to $10,000 over Kelley Blue Book right now, depending on the make and model and trim. So please visit us at BillCurry.com. Put in your trade, get your value. You can work with our amazing people. Also, set up your mobile service and pick up and delivery, because right now it is free of charge. We will come to your home, service your vehicle, and leave. That simple. Sometimes it amazes me how we serve our community, not just selling, but servicing parts and body shop. And now with mobile and pickup and delivery, it's pretty amazing. I also have something else I want to talk about. As you know, I'm really big on communities, right? I believe that if we as a people take care of our communities, if we just did our own community, right, the rest of the United States would be great. You know, we wouldn't have to worry about different cities and different states. Just take care of what you can take care of. Everything else falls into play, which is why I'm so big on supporting Tampa, supporting our sports teams, supporting our people, supporting our residents, serving the community through Bill Curry Ford. Those are just amazing things. Right now, Danny's Deli is this amazing deli that I talk about that's in Brandon, Fishhawk area. They have what's called Best of the Bay going on for 2025. The website is BOTBTampaBay.com, BestOfTheBayTampaBay.com. Go in there and vote for your favorite restaurants and your favorite chefs. And my endorsement is fully going to Danny's Deli as the number one deli in the Tampa Bay area. Not only is it a family-owned business, but the fact that they know who comes in, they know your order, they make amazing food. And they're huge sports fans, and they serve their community with local sports teams at the high school and under high school level, which is very admirable. But I will tell you that considering the fact that Danny is a Philadelphia Eagles fan, you would think that we wouldn't get along very well. But actually, he's very open-minded to my criticism of the Eagles. I did do several things for him just because he's a great, great guy. And please visit Danny's Deli in Fishhawk. You guys won't regret it. They have the best pastrami sandwich outside, I'm guessing, the Northeast, because it's that good. So there's my plug for that. Let's get into the AFC North. We're going to start with the Baltimore Ravens. And one of my closest friends in the world, he is a big Baltimore Ravens fan. And so this is for you, Damian. So we're going to break down the Ravens, right? So pick 27 in the fourth round, Malachi Starks out of Georgia. Now, this safety had been linked to the Bucs over and over again, and several pundits, had him going there. And I really love this player. I definitely think he's terrific lower first round, top second round value. I really love the fact that the Ravens always let the board come to them. You know, Kyle Hamilton kind of fell into their lap, and he's been a perennial Pro Bowler. I think he's one of the best at his position in the NFL. But if you look at Malachi Starks, not a super fast runner, not overly physical, but what he is a smart football player, very high IQ, knows where he's supposed to be on the field, plays the run with the best safeties in the class. He also only missed tackles at an 8.1% rate, which was one of the top at in the college level. What they got is a everyday football player, plug-and-play guy in Malachi Starks. So great pick to start the draft for the Ravens. In the second round, pick 59, they went after Mike Green, the phenom pass rusher out of Marshall. Linked as high as 15 in the first round, but again, as with anything, it's not about the on-the-field stuff. This was about off-the-field stuff with Mike Green, and I don't get into rumors and alleged stuff with players, but he had enough going on off the field to make him fall to pick 59, but he had the talent of a mid-first-round draft pick for sure. He was extremely dominant at the Senior Bowl. In the last two seasons, he's recorded the most sacks. He had 17 sacks in 2024. He has a 20.2 pass rushing win rate and a 9.4 run stop rate. This is a steal if Mike Green, the person, can stay on the field and not let off-the-field things affect him. And I believe on the field, he's a first-round talent. It's a steal for the Baltimore Ravens at pick 59. As long, again, the talent of the player is way above where he was drafted. And the third round, pick 91, tackle Emory Jones Jr. at LSU. I absolutely love this pick. Solid tackle who's going to be moved to the inside. I really think he's going to be really good on the inside. I think he played out of position at tackle. I think he's going to be a much better interior offensive lineman. Long arms, good anchor, okay pass protection, great run protection. I think he fits right into the Baltimore Ravens line. I think he has the right temperament for that. I think his size at guard is going to be top-tier size at guard, even though it's a little underwhelming at tackle, but I really think they know what they're doing. That's a very well-coached football team. I think you're going to see Emory Jones Jr. working his way in. In the fourth round, pick 129, linebacker Teddy Buchanan out of California. He was a one-year starter. He transferred from UC Davis. Solid linebacker, doesn't do anything extremely well. He is a blitzer for an off-the-ball linebacker. I think because the Ravens lost Malik Harrison and Chris Board in free agency, I think Buchanan gets in that rotation of maybe being their top backup behind, of course, perennial Pro Bowler Roquan Smith and Trenton Simpson, who's now starting for them. I think he works his way into rotation. So fourth round pick that's going to get snaps on a perennial playoff team, possible Super Bowl team, is pretty great. In the fifth round pick, 141, offensive tackle Carson Vinson out of Alabama A&M. I believe he's obviously going to be a guard at the next level. I don't think he's going to play tackle in the NFL, but I think he's a developmental offensive lineman. I think five, six, probably okay round for him as a developmental inside guard. In the sixth round pick, 177, cornerback Balakon out of Western Michigan. He allowed a completion rate of just 45.7% of his throws on coverage. He forced 8 incompletions and tallied 1 interception while allowing just 1 touchdown. Again, I think he's a special teams player in the NFL. At the competition level at Western Michigan versus what he's going to see in the AFC, it's going to be quite a bit different. I think he's a 3 or 4 year developmental player as a backup and then as a special teams player. Round 6 kicker, Tyler Loop. I don't talk about kickers, so that's pretty amazing stuff. So here's a guy that I interviewed at the Combine, LaJonte Wester out of Colorado. Because I followed Shedeur Sanders so well, I got to see him. First of all, he has some of the best hands in the entire draft. He's also a special teams ace. He can return kicks and punts. Very, very small guy. You know, when I was standing next to him, you could see that he's like DeSean Jackson size. Obviously, he needs to bulk up and add some to his frame. I absolutely think that I really do think he was a star player. Before he transferred to Colorado, and then he kind of got lost in an amazing Colorado wide receiver room. I think this guy's his path to the NFL is a special teams player. I think he plays with power, even though he's a small guy. I think he's very hard to get your hands on, but I think he's tough. And during the interview, you know, he talked about that way he grew up and the streets that he grew up on and how difficult it was for him to make it, even through college, with his outside influences going on. I think that's why he fell to the sixth round. Keep an eye on LaJonte Wester. I'm telling you, there's something special about the guy. He just shoots out of a cannon and can really return kicks and punts. And we'll see how that goes. They had another sixth round pick, 210, Aeneas Peebles out of Virginia Tech. Peebles is this really amazing combine guy. So when I was sitting next to Steve Itzbitz and we were at the combine, I got to see Peebles. And during the I saw Farmer and several of them going through the drills. And I'm telling you what, this guy was really impressive. I think he's got some pass rush moves. I think they're going to find a role for him. I think he makes the team. Even though he's picked 210, I just don't see him not making the team because that's how agile he was for his size. I think he's a developmental guy. I think he went to the right team. He had an outstanding 91.2 true passer set pass rush grade, 17.8 pass rush win in 2024. That's extremely impressive. I think obviously you can't put on height and length, but you can continue to work on your game. And I think this guy is someone to keep an eye on. And to pick 212 again in the sixth round, cornerback Robert Longerbeam out of Rutgers. He's a slot corner, forced a lot of turnovers. He had forced a lot of incompletions as well in 2024. It's a special teams guy, possibly a depth guy. Last pick in the seventh round, Garrett Dellinger out of LSU, another guard out of LSU. What a terrific offensive line they had. He was the fourth LSU offensive lineman drafted. So that's pretty incredible. He played just 268 pass-blocking snaps due to an injury he had last year. He surrendered only three total pressures and did not allow a sack. So here's a guy that fell to the seventh round based upon health, played at an amazing program that plays against high-level competition. So congratulations to Garrett for getting through that process, getting drafted in the seventh round so he doesn't go the free agent route. I think he might be able to, a guy that's going to sneak onto the practice squad until he's fully healthy, and he might actually get on the team. Overall, I really think Baltimore's draft is pretty amazing. Malachi Starks is an instant starter. I think Mike Green is a guy they got with a ton of talent with some off-the-field problems, and they've done that in the past, and it's actually worked out extremely well for that locker room and that coaching staff. Emory Jones is a guy they're going to move inside to guard. He might actually start. They got depth with Teddy Buchanan at linebacker. Overall, a good depth draft, but I think they might have gotten two starters out of this, and I think Wester and Peebles, lower round draft picks, I think are going to make up some great depth for Baltimore. So again, solid draft. Cincinnati Bengals are up next. If you haven't watched Quarterback on Netflix and watched the Joe Burrow part of the quarterback, it's extremely interesting. So for football fans looking for something to do right now, because this is a tough part of the season, tough part of the year, because there's not a lot going on. A lot of people are on vacation prior to minicamp. It's worth watching. Again, that's Quarterback on Netflix. Joe Burrow has an amazing part in that show. First round, the Cincinnati Bengals, of course, went in with an edge. 16th overall, Shamar Stewart. More importantly, we can talk about how this guy has an amazing run-stopping ability. He's one of the top run edges in this draft. I think he's got five tools as far as an athlete, but he really hasn't put it together as a pass rusher yet. The Bengals took a chance on him, obviously, to develop. And if you guys aren't following the minicamp, there's been a huge contract dispute between Shamar Stewart and the Bengals. So we'll see how that comes out. But he hasn't even been practicing. I think he took off the last two practices. And then minicamp-wise, we'll see if he shows up. Demetrius Knight, the second round pick, 49 out of South Carolina, is one of my absolute favorite linebackers. Does everything. I really liked him. I really thought he would have looked terrific in Pewter. But Demetrius Knight Jr. is a solid pick. He's 25 years old. He's very mature. He has terrific processing speed. He's an all-around linebacker. He can handle the run. He can handle his gaps. He can cover out of the backfield. He had a good coverage grade. He's just a guy that does everything really well as an off-the-ball linebacker. Pick in the third round, pick 81, guard Dylan Fairchild out of Georgia. He allowed just one sack his entire college career. Getting him at pick 81 is terrific depth for a Cincinnati Bengals offensive line that's always looking for more protection for Joe Burrow. And pick four in the fourth round, pick 119, linebacker Barrett Carter out of Clemson. Here's a guy that at last year was a much higher ranked linebacker. I really think that he's just solid. And I think that the reason why he falls to the fourth round, just because this position is not as desirable as other positions in the draft. I mean, he was a three-year starter at Clemson. His sophomore year was his best year. He had a terrific run passing grade. But I think what you're going to see him, you're going to have Barrett Carter coming in and Demetrius Knight coming in competing for the same playing time. So may the best guy win. In the fifth round, they went for tackle Jalen Rivers out of Miami. He had a pass blocking grade of 78.8. If you think about it, they drafted a tackle, Jalen Rivers, and then they went after guard Dylan Fairchild. So they're still addressing offensive line issues. I think he's a swing tackle that gives him depth. I think they're gonna try to get him to be a left and a right tackle, swing tackle, backup in the fifth round. I think that's pretty great. In the sixth round, pick 193, running back Taj Brooks out of Texas Tech. Unbelievable production in college football, rushing for over 3,100 yards and 27 touchdowns in 2 years. 5'10", 230 pounds. He's built like a stone, like just you're just rolling a stone through the line. The guy's going to be very tough to bring down. 98 forced missed tackles in 2023. He's going to be with Chase Brown, another guy out of Illinois that's been extremely wonderful for the Cincinnati backfield. I think obviously you saw them make some moves with their starting running back to move Chase Brown into the starting running back role. He can catch, he can run, and now he's got Taj Brooks behind him, a very strong runner. And if you're going to play outside in the cold, you definitely want someone like Taj Brooks to really push through and be ultra physical. Looking back at the Cincinnati Bengals, Shamar Stewart's going to be a question mark for me. I wasn't a big fan of his. They drafted him at 16. He's not even in camp yet. Demetrius Knight Jr. is a solid pick. I think he's going to start for the Bengals. Dylan Fairchild was terrific depth. Barrett Carter, again, another linebacker, was depth, and Jalen Rivers out of Miami. So they addressed off-the-ball linebacker twice and offensive line twice in four picks, and then they got a running back in Brooks that really fits their style. So moving on to the Cleveland Browns, they got one of my absolute favorite players at pick five, Mason Graham out of Michigan. This is pretty incredible because Mason Graham is going to be an unbelievable productive player for the Cleveland Browns. I mean, he fits right into an amazing defensive line. Not much to say other than he's just absolutely fantastic. Pick number two for them, which was pick 33 overall, Carson Schwetzinger, the UCLA linebacker. Obviously, I'm really high on this linebacker. I loved him. He can rush the passer. He's amazing out of the backfield. He can cover. I really love his IQ. He seems to be always in the right place at the right time. He was the highest graded blitzer in the draft, which is pretty incredible. The Browns, again, just continue to add these amazing defensive players. In the second round, they picked running back Quishon Judkins out of Ohio State. Judkins was my second favorite running back out of Ohio State. He's had some off-the-field problems already, but he did sign with the Browns, so he did sign his contract. So the Browns were linked to Henderson the whole time, but then Henderson, of course, went higher than what people expected, so they settled for Judkins. But if you think about it, he was the higher rated as far as coming into the school. He's a very powerful north and south runner, really fits with what they're trying to do, has terrific tackle ability. I think he's just going to be a star for Cleveland as long as he can keep his head on right. In the third round, Heron Fannin Jr. out of Bowling Green. This is a guy that when I was at the combine that I was talking to everybody about, I really thought he was like adding a wide receiver to your tight end. It's just unbelievable when this guy catches the ball, he gets up the field, and after contact or after catch yards are just amazing. He had a 95.9% grade last season, the best marks of all tight ends. He just catches everything that goes near him. I'm telling you, he looks like a wide receiver out there, but he's a tight end. So if you look at what the Cleveland Browns did, Mason Graham is an instant starter. Schwarzenegger is an instant starter. Judkins is gonna split carries, I think. If not, you know, he could actually become the starter. Harold Fannin Jr. is, to me, an unbelievable talent to get him pick 67. I don't know how they're going to keep him off the field. I think he's going to get a lot of playing time. Next is Dylan Gabriel, the QB, the pick 94, third round out of Oregon. I was not a fan of Dylan, so he's 5'11", 205 pounds. I didn't think he was overly accurate. He played for three different schools over six college seasons. I thought that he threw a really nice long ball when he was at Oregon. He really played well in the Oregon offense. At times when the games were on the line, I think he turned the ball over. I didn't think that he was super elite when it was a very stressful situation. I really don't like his underneath throws, his timing throws. I don't know. This is a hard one for me because I thought he was probably a fifth or sixth round draft pick. Moving on to round four, pick 126, Dylan Sampson. They went back and got another running back out of Tennessee. This guy is pairing him now with Judkins is going to be pretty great. They're both elite college running backs. They both have a knack for tackles, missed tackles. Man, I really think Dylan Sampson's a sleeper here in Tennessee. I really loved his film. I really liked him a lot. Tennessee produces some terrific running backs that kind of fly under the radar. But if you think about what the Browns did, they really solidified that running back room. The next pick everyone knows about, Shedeur Sanders, pick 144, fifth round. I think Shedeur Sanders is a first-round draft talent. The off-the-field circus obviously plays into his draft status. I think he's an extremely accurate quarterback. I think for me, he's like a Brock Purdy. type style. He's a pocket passer, doesn't run. He just puts the ball where it needs to be, timing-wise, extremely intelligent, doesn't have the strongest arm, doesn't run extremely well. He just plays football, and he plays it at a high level, and the ball that he throws down the field is unbelievably accurate. So if Shedeur Sanders can find a way to stop all the circus around him and just play football, the Browns got an absolute steal with him. So we'll see how that goes. Next is the Steelers. First round pick, 21 overall, Derek Harmon, Oregon interior defensive lineman. I think that what he's probably going to be, you know, he's going to be like the successor to Cameron Hayward. Cameron Hayward's now 36. I think Harmon gets in there right away. I think he's one of the best pass rushing interior defensive linemen that was in the draft. Well, he had a 91.2 pass rushing grade. I think that's a really strong pick for the Steelers. Their next pick was Caleb Johnson out of Iowa, the running back. He's an unbelievable talent at pick 83. Now, I know running back's really fallen, but in past, this guy Caleb Johnson would have been a first-round draft pick. He averaged 4.42 yards after contact. That is incredible. He also can catch the ball. He's going to be terrific around the goal line. He was made to wear the Steelers uniform. This guy is a Steeler. Like, sometimes when you see players and you're watching film, you can kind of in your mind see what team they fit with. He is clearly a Steeler. Pick 123, they picked Jack Sawyer out of Ohio State, who's basically an edge rusher. He can also play off the ball. He had 63 total pressures, ranked fourth within college football last year. Because he can play the run so well, it kind of fits what Mike Tomlin wants to do with the Steelers. So this is a terrific pick for them. Again, in the fifth round, pick 164, Yaya Black out of Iowa. Solid run defender. I don't know where they're going to play him, actually. He can play interior defensive line. If they're going to play him, you know, maybe outside linebacker, I'm not quite sure. But he's a developmental guy. In the sixth round, Will Howard, QB out of Ohio State, pick 185. I will tell you, at the combine, Will Howard had his own entourage of reporters. He's an extremely popular guy. Obviously, he was the quarterback for Ohio State, but he was unbelievably in demand for a guy that wasn't a first-round draft pick. But Will Howard checks a lot of boxes. He's got size. He's got an arm. He played at Ohio State. I really don't know what to think of him. He was very streaky for me. Like, I would watch him one game, and he would be just phenomenal. He'd make the right throws at the right time, put the ball in the right hands, and then you watch him again, and he was very inconsistent. So for me, Will Howard's going to have to really show consistency for me, and I really don't feel like he fits what the Steelers are trying to do, but I don't even know what the Steelers are trying to do at quarterback. In the seventh round, Carson Bruner out of Washington is a special teams player. Possibly get into the rotation if there's a very, very good pass-catching tight end for the offense. Pick 229 against Dante Kent out of Central Michigan. Very small corner and a terrific special teams player. So I really feel like that's where they went with special teams with these last guys. But let's look again at the Steelers. With Derek Harmon, he's going to start. Caleb Johnson, I don't know how he's not splitting carries. Jack Sawyer, the edge, is a developmental edge guy that I think he'll might be getting into the rotation. And then Black out of Iowa, not quite sure. Howard, not quite sure what they're doing drafting Will Howard at pick 185, but I think talent-wise, they just said in the sixth round, let's take the best available player. Bruner and Kent are special teams guys they picked in the seventh round. So if you look at what the Steelers did, they really did get a terrific football player in Caleb Johnson and Derek Harmon. So their first pick and their third round, pick 83, was terrific. The rest of the guys, I think, are kind of depth, and then I'm not really sure what direction the Steelers are going, and I really, if you look at what the Browns did, the Browns had an excellent draft, and the Bengals had an okay draft. They made sure they covered their linebacker, and they made sure they got some more offensive line depth, but that first pick, Shamar Stewart, is going to really, you know, the first round draft pick always defines what your draft is going to be. It just does. Unless you hit on like a Brock Purdy in the seventh round who becomes a franchise quarterback. That doesn't really happen very often, as you guys know. I will tell you, that pick is a very odd pick for me, and I'm interested to see if he does sign, how much he's going to actually develop. Again, I really, really liked what Baltimore did. I think they drafted solid football players. I thought they drafted a couple of players outside the lines that they're going to develop with that locker room. That concludes the AFC North. please email me at bestinclass@billcurryford.com with any questions or comments, anything you would like me to review as mini camps are going. Please visit billcurryford.com. See all of our amazing specials, especially for July, for the end of July. We have some amazing things going on with the 000. Please contact us. And then if you want to set up mobile or pick up and delivery, it's very easy to do. You can call or text or go to the website and set up your in-home appointment at no charge from Bill Curry Ford. Again, please follow us at all of the social media sites. You guys know I'm not going to go through them all, but it's Bill Curry Ford Tampa, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I hope you guys have a great day, and I hope you enjoyed the best 30 minutes in football. I'll see you guys next time.